James chapter 5. Now, you rich men, weep and howl because of the misery that will come upon you. The rich people think they're having a great time, but James says, you're going to lose it all because the day of judgment is coming. Your riches are corrupted and your expensive clothes are moth-eaten. So they thought that their clothes were so cool, but they were already, James says, eaten with moths. They'd have said, no, our clothes aren't eaten with moths. But James is saying that effectively, from God's point of view, all this wealth that you've got is all no good and it's all perishing. Your gold and silver is already gone rusty. Well, gold, the whole idea of gold is that it never goes rusty. But ultimately, all things will go rusty and wealth does not last forever. And people give their whole lives to try to get rich and it doesn't last forever. The true riches are the things of God's word and God's kingdom. And the rust of your gold and silver will eat your flesh like fire. You've heaped up treasure for the last days. Behold, the hire of the workers who've harvested your fields, which you fraudulently kept back, cries out against you. And the cries of those who have reaped your harvest have entered into the ears of the Lord of Judgment. So they'd paid men to cut down their wheat and their corn to harvest their fields, but they hadn't paid them. And God heard that and saw that. You've lived in pleasure on the earth. You've nourished your hearts as if for a day of slaughter. So he's saying you're like animals who get fed up nice and fat and then they get killed and eaten. And that's what you're doing with all your wealth. You have condemned and killed the just, and he does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. And it is all about patience. It's about keeping on, keeping on. The farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and he's very patient for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near. Now, of course, Jesus didn't come back in the time of James, nor in the first century. But the point is that we are to live as if Jesus is coming at any moment. Do not grudge against each other, brethren. Don't be envious, don't be jealous, unless you will be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. So we've got to live as if the day of judgment is around the corner, as if at any moment there could be a knock at the door and it's Jesus and it's the day of judgment. My brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. We consider those happy who endure. You've heard of the patience of Job, and you've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now that's the great message of the book of Job. He suffered so terribly, and he complained about it. He lost his health, he lost his wealth, he lost his wife, he lost his children. But in the end, you see the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. In the end. Now, of course, as poor Job was going through all that, that's not how it seemed. And although we can't attach meaning to event, that is, we cannot immediately understand why something is happening, yet we know that in the end, the Lord is very pitiful and he's a very tender, sensitive mercy. He understands what we're going through, and it's all so that we will be in the kingdom at the end. But above everything, my brothers, don't swear, neither by heaven nor by the earth nor by any other oath. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So you can see there that by praying for others, you can save others. You think of the paralyzed man in Mark chapter 2. It says that when Jesus saw their faith, the faith of his friends, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." So you can be healed, you can be forgiven because of the prayers of somebody else. Now, if that's so, we should be praying all the time for other people. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective, earnest prayer of a righteous man is very powerful. So then, confess your sins to each other. Now, that's really hard, isn't it? To say to each other, you know, I've got a problem with having tantrums. I've got a problem with impatience. I've got a problem with getting cranky with mum or whatever it might be. So what God wants more than anything is humility, is to be humble. And this is all part of being humble. Elijah was a man who had passions like we have. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3.5 years. He prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now the reason why Elijah did that was so that Israel might repent and be forgiven. This is the point he's saying here. You should be praying for each other to be forgiven. And that's what Elijah did, even though he himself suffered as the result of what he did. Because he himself went without food and water and was probably hungry because of what he did. Had to go and live with a widow woman in Zarephath and so on. Brothers, if any of you err from the truth and one converts him, let him know that he who converts the sinner from the error of his way will save a person from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So we can help other people to get forgiven. We can, in that sense, save people. And if that is so, that you and I have got the power in our hands to go out and to help a man or woman to come to live forever and to be forgiven, we should try by every manner and means that we can. We shouldn't be shy. We shouldn't feel ashamed or embarrassed that we're standing up for being a Christian. No, don't worry about that. We should by all means try to persuade men and women of the wonderful forgiveness and the hope that they can have. And I know that naturally we are, of course, all shy. And I pray every day that God will give me meetings with people whom I can help towards his kingdom. And I suggest you do that as well, because he answers in wonderful ways.